Well, today we're going to continue in our series, Who is the Son? We just finished a series on Who is the Holy Spirit, and we just started a new series a few weeks ago on Who is the Son? And the whole goal and the whole purpose of this teaching is to teach us the many signs of the Trinity. We look at the Holy Spirit, and that was such a life-changing teaching for many of you as you're realizing that the Holy Spirit's role in my life is so practical and is so relational. It's not this mystic thing that we think of, and our mind has a hard time comprehending many times. And so we're realizing that the Holy Spirit brings us good gifts, and that any gift given by the Holy Spirit should not be feared. But it's a good gift to us, and that we should embrace all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we looked at applying those things to our life, and we're learning to get up every morning and say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit, lead me today." And we're developing this relationship. Now, as we started on this series, Who is the Son, we're looking at the first couple of weeks, we looked at the many sides of Jesus. And as we understand our Savior better and have a better relationship, many people have told you need to have a personal relationship with God. You know, how does that look? You know, and if we don't understand who Jesus really truly is, when you have a comprehension of who he truly is, it changes your perspective on him. It changes the way you pray to him. It changes the way you listen to him. It changes the way you read his word. There's so many things. Amen. I got an amen right there. Yeah, we got an amen. Hallelujah. Someone's been set free this morning already. We looked at Jesus the carpenter. We looked at Jesus the carpenter, and we know that he was a real person. Man, he worked a hard job. That he spent probably at least 18 years in hard work labor. He only spent 3 years in public ministry, when we read so much about that. But 18 years of his life, if we read what theologians tell us to be true, at a time frame that he would have been working for his father at the time that he started his public ministry, 18 years. So he understands what it means to work hard as a carpenter. He understands what it means to have problems with employers, employees. He knows what it is to have people trying to cheat you. He understands to be rejected. He understands physical pain. He understands what it means to have people doubt you. He understands what it means to have your family think you're crazy. We looked at that scripture and talked about that. He understands these things. And so when we talk to him, we know he's a high priest who understands every temptation we go through. And he understands this. And last week we talked about him being the great shepherd, the good shepherd in our life. And that we are called sheep, and how the Bible compares him so often as a great shepherd, and we're compared to sheep. And the sheep know what? The shepherd's voice. We talked about this point last week, that the shepherd, when he calls out, that all the sheep, there can be thousands upon thousands of sheep there, but when the shepherd calls out to his sheep, they will follow the shepherd's voice. Only those shepherd's sheep, no matter how spread apart they are, no matter how many sheep are there, when they hear the voice of their shepherd, they will leave that pack, and they will follow that shepherd home. They will follow to where he's leading them, to greener pastures, to by the still waters, whatever it is he's leading them, they hear the voice. And so we know that Jesus as a shepherd is calling to us as sheep to follow after him. He is looking to us as a great shepherd, and we are sheep. The Bible gives us that correlation so many times. Today I want to talk to you about something maybe you don't hear a lot talked about, but I want to talk to you about this thought, Jesus the teacher. Who is the Son? He is Jesus the teacher. And this is a very important thing in understanding who Jesus really was, that he was the greatest teacher to ever live this earth or ever walk this earth, that he was the greatest teacher. You know, 48 times Jesus is called the teacher in the Bible. 48 times they called him teacher. You know, it's even agreed upon that many atheist scholars who don't even believe in God, say that Jesus Christ was the greatest teacher who ever lived. This is a powerful statement for people who don't believe in him. It's a powerful statement. People don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in God, but yet they look at him and say, but yet this man was the greatest teacher who ever lived. People would follow Jesus no matter where he was. I mean, we realize today that it's very easy to go to a conference down in Tulsa or Springfield and hear some great preacher and speaker speak. When we get done, we can go by a restaurant and grab something to eat. It's a very easy thing to do, but we could travel in our car. We have those very luxury things, and it's very easy to do, but for people to follow Jesus in the desert, well, there was no McDonald's waiting for him. For people to, Jesus get in a boat and take off and go, and people get in their boats and just follow after him. I mean, he was such a great teacher that people just would follow and hung on every word he was saying, because his teaching was so radical. It was so different than what they were used to, that people would follow him wherever, where he went, even in the past the lunch hour into the evening hour, when they knew that, man, we're going to be, time we get home, we're going to miss a whole day's worth of meals. They understood this. This is why Jesus had to feed the multitude. Remember the 5,000 plus that he fed with the Long John Silvers. Remember him taking out Long John Silvers and passing it out to everybody? This is what happened. There were so many people following after him to hear him that they just flocked after every word that he taught. Look what it says in Matthew 13:54. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, so they were what? Astonished. They were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Look what Matthew 22:33 says. And when the multitudes heard this, this is teaching, they were what? Astonished at his teaching. I mean, wherever he taught, whenever he taught anything, people were astonished. I mean, can you imagine? You ever hear somebody? Today, we don't understand that. Today, we can't comprehend that. I've had some great professors in school and college and who keep your attention, and you're like, you know, you like to keep every note they say, you write it down. Those people are far and few between. But I'd never have anyone who just astonished me in their teaching. This is the kind of power that Jesus had. He astonished people when he taught. There was an astonishment that came. Look what John 7:32 and then verses 45-46 says. The Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring. They're talking about his teaching, these things concerning him. He'd been teaching, and everybody's astonished. And they're talking about this Jesus, man. Look what he's talking about. He's radical. Look what's going on. I've never heard this taught. And then the Pharisees and the chief priests sent the officers to take him. All right, the Pharisees are like, all right, he's preaching a different gospel here. He's coming against everything we taught, you know, and our jobs are in jeopardy here. That's what they're thinking here. If it word gets out that this is what the gospel's really about, then we're in trouble here, because the Pharisees thought they had it all figured out, and they didn't. And so they sent the high priests and the Pharisees who had control in the government at the time, they would send off the officers to go arrest this man. He's a lunatic. He's a false prophet. Go arrest him. And they sent the police out. Look what happens. Then the officers came back to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they were empty-handed. And who said to them, why have you not brought him here? That's what they said. Why did you come back? The officers came back, and they said, man, where's Jesus at? We sent you to get him, bring him back here. Look what they said. This is the police talking, okay? The soldiers. Why have you not brought him? Look what they said. The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the police going out to arrest this man, and they come back with wired eyes and going, but you got to hear this guy teach. You got to hear this guy speak. I know we went to arrest him, but no one ever spoke the way this man spoke. No one ever taught the way this man spoke. No one's ever said these things to me. I'd never heard anybody speak and pierce my heart the way this man talked. Even the police just said, you go arrest him. I ain't arresting this man. And he just astonished people. And what was it that made Jesus such a great teacher? What made him such a great teacher? Let me give you a couple things here. Number one, he taught with authority. Jesus taught with authority. He taught with authority that no one had ever taught before. Matthew 7:28-29. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having what? Authority, and not as scribes. You see, as the scribes and the Pharisees had been teaching, they were teaching in the synagogues. They were teaching all day long. And they were teaching all these people so many things. But when Jesus stepped up, he taught as what? One having authority. The scribes, they didn't have any authority. Matter of fact, the scribes were very dull, dry, and boring in their teaching. I mean, the people are like, oh, here we go. To the synagogue again. Here we go. Listen to the scribes and the Pharisees teach. And what happened was they had no revelation of the gospel. They only had law. They had the law without grace, without revelation. They had no idea. And so the scribes and Pharisees, because there was no revelation coming to them, because there was no new revelation coming to them, that they had to make up things. Do you realize that the scribes and Pharisees, before Jesus came, that they made up 640 rules on how to follow the Ten Commandments? God had given the Ten Commandments. That was revelation. And the scribes and Pharisees were so much lacking revelation that the only thing new they could do was to make up 640 rules to follow the Ten Commandments. I mean, talking about crazy, you know? Well, you got anything new for God? No, I don't got anything new. Does fire come down over there? No, and then God spit on. Well, all right, here's a new rule. Let me tell you, when you come to church, your hair's got to be up all above your shoulders. And women, don't cover your head and don't look at anybody else. I mean, you talk about crazy. Some of you are saying, boy, that would be crazy to live in that kind of environment where it's dry, dull, and boring, and people make up rules. I say, you haven't been in some of the churches I've been into, okay? Because I tell you, that thing still goes on today. There's places that still happens. And Jesus didn't come to bring rules. Jesus came to bring life and freedom from it, man. He came to give us the life to the fullest, a revelation of his word. He taught with authority, not with one saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. I know the scribes and Pharisees are made up 640 different rules. Hey, I've given you 10 commandments, okay? And let me give you the most important ones is love the Lord your God with all your heart and learn to love your neighbor, man. This is the most important thing. And he was radical. And they couldn't understand, how can this be important? We got 640 rules over here to follow. And Jesus is like, that's too much, man. You're boring my people to sleep. They come to the synagogue and they fall asleep. It's boring. There's no life. There's no power. There's no grace in this. Jesus said, I am the living God. And he came to bring authority to his teaching. They had no revelation, but he brought revelation. How could Jesus teach with authority? Because he was grace and he was truth. And to this time, the Pharisees and the scribes, they had no understanding of grace and truth. They only had law. There was no grace and truth behind it. And Jesus was full of grace and he was full of truth. And when he spoke, he could speak with authority on grace because he was grace. He could speak authority on grace because he knew what he was giving. He knew what he was forgiving. He knew the sacrifice he was walking. He knew the sacrifice that was laid ahead of him upon the cross. He knew the grace that was coming. And so he could speak with authority on God's grace because he was God's grace living in body, in human form. He could speak on grace. He could speak with authority on truth. He could speak on the truth of the gospel because he was the gospel. Because he was fully God and yet fully man. And he could understand when he could speak to humans, he says, I can relate to you. Let me speak the truth because I am truth sent from God. It was an authority. It was a changing of the guard. It was a changing in the spiritual realm that Jesus brought an authority, a revelation to his teaching. How many this week, if I said that Jesus was going to be here next week to give the message, how many think you'd be here? Anybody? Some of you are like, all right, let me check my tea time, Pastor. I don't know. How many would be here if Jesus was going? If I said Jesus was teaching next week, he's going to be here live in person teaching. How many would make sure you're here? You wouldn't want to miss that one, right? We wouldn't want to miss. That's just one message I wouldn't want to miss. We would want to be here to hear because of the authority and the truth of what he says. I mean, this place would be, we wouldn't fit people in here. We'd take all the chairs out and be shoulder to shoulder, standing room only. And people would be turned away because they would want to hear what Jesus had to say. Isn't that so true? Well, let me tell you, Jesus is not going to be here speaking next Sunday. But I tell you what, he's speaking tomorrow morning. He's speaking on the floorboard of your car, that Bible that you left in there because Pastor Gene had the scriptures on the overhead. You didn't bring it in this morning. He's going to speak on the coffee table where that Bible lays. Scripture is full of what Jesus had to say. Scripture is full of the teachings of authority of Jesus Christ, of what he says about my marriage, what he says about my children, what he says about my health, what he says about my finances, what he says about my job, what he says about my attitude, what he says about my actions, what he says about my forgiveness, what he says about my bitterness, what he says about my peace, what he says about my trouble, what he says about my salvation. It's right here. It's been spoken with authority. Jesus is speaking it. Why don't we neglect it so much? Why do we neglect it so much? It's there, and every one of us have multitudes of them in our rooms, in our houses, man. We got them packed away. We got Bibles that Grandma gave us and Mom and Dad gave us. We got our first Bible. We got the first teenage Bible. We got our first NIV Bible we can really understand. We got our first this or that, and we got Bibles laying around everywhere. Yeah, how often do we really take it open and say, God, I want to read with authority that you spoke about. I want to read what the Gospels had to say to me. I want to read what Jesus was speaking. He spoke, and it's here, and it's recorded for me to listen to and to read and to comprehend and have him speak to me. We got to realize that our God spoke, and he taught with authority. He also taught practically. Man, he was so practical in his teaching. This is so. Can you imagine going to church and synagogues and the Pharisees and the priests teaching you about the Torah? And important to the 640 rules, teenagers, man, you have come a long way, so I'll tell you, okay? You're so lucky today. Can you imagine sitting through the 640 readings of the rules? I mean, it just is, you know, I think I have some tension problems myself. And so I would have a hard time listening to that. We would be there, you know, but Jesus talked so practically that he pulled people right in. He had a way of keep, you know what? He taught so practically. He had a way of pulling us in. It's like he knew how we were created. Duh. And he knew that getting up reading a bunch of rules was going to put you and I to sleep. So he talked so practically that we could comprehend it and understand it. He didn't come up with a bunch of rules, but yeah, he gave stories. And he taught very practical in ways that you and I can comprehend. Jesus never taught Christian nonsense. He was very practical. He didn't teach a bunch of Christian nonsense. And I tell you today, you can't turn on the TV sometimes and watch some programs, Christian programs, and they're just preaching a bunch of nonsense. It's nonsense. I just tell you, it's nonsense. Many times my wife and I, we have some TV shows on, and it's just nonsense. I'm like, that's nonsense. And there's some good ones out there. I'm not saying they're all bad. There's some great ones out there. There's other ones up there, and they get up and preach things that just are just nonsense. Jesus didn't come to preach nonsense. He didn't come to preach the gospel to fit how he's living and twist it around for him. He came and preached the gospel in a way that was with authority, with grace, and truth. And, man, it was powerful. He taught it very practical that we can understand. He was very practical. He said this. He said, hey, if you're mad at somebody, go to them and talk to them about it and talk it out and make it right. I can understand that. I'm mad. When I got people I'm mad at, I'm going to go to that person. I need to talk it out. He was very practical in his teaching. He would say things to us and make us understand what he was saying. He said, hey, if you're greedy, you're never going to be happy in your life. You can never be happy being a greedy person. Person who has fulfilled their life, they're giving away. They're giving away their talents and their treasure and their finances. They're giving these things away to help further the kingdom of God, to help better man. I mean, it just makes you better. Where's Dusty at today? Where'd Dusty go? Where you at, Dusty? I know you're here somewhere. There he is, Dusty. I didn't even ask Dusty. He's like, yeah, Pastor, what are you up to, man? Dusty plays middle linebacker for Missouri Southern, which they did a great job last night. Yeah, him and Simeon are here. They won. Beat Emporia State last night. Did a great job. Dusty, this week, I asked him. He came out and went to my practice with me. I'm coaching, helped coaching my fourth grade son's team in Webb City. And so we're out there practicing, and he comes out, and he's really nervous. He's kind of a face like that. You want me to speak to the whole team? You know, and what's... I kind of got some homework. He's like, Pastor, I kind of got some homework to do, so I can't stay a long time. What he was saying to me was, I'm really nervous about speaking in front of everybody. And so I could read him because I know there. So anyway, so I'm like, Dusty, no big deal. Just hang with me. And we're out there, and he's helping me coach. And before the end of practice, he's out there coaching these kids. And he's got them out up here. And he's teaching them to read the, who do you got? Yeah. He's high-fiving them. And before you know it, he stayed the whole practice. And as he's leaving, all the kids are yelling, bye, Coach Dusty. Bye. We love you, man. You're awesome, man. Can you autograph my football? Hey, Coach Dusty. And I talked to Dusty. He's like, hey, I think I can come out like once a week. You know, this is kind of cool, you know. Why is it? Because there's something about coming and giving that we just don't understand until you do it. I mean, you just don't understand the joy that comes with giving until you've done it. And just something about it. And God knew that. Jesus knew that. He said, hey, you're not going to be happy until you start giving and using the talents I've given you. Let me make it practical to you. I'm not going to give you a bunch of rules. No, you're just not going to be happy in life until you open up yourself and quit being a greedy person. Greedy people drive miserable. They're misers, miserable people. The people who open up and give to the Lord and use what they have to advance the kingdom of God, use their talents to better people, to help students, to do things. Man, these people are rewarded in their spirit, and you're going to find joy. You're going to find peace in that, no matter how busy you are. Jesus knew this. He was very practical in his teaching. He spoke to us at the core of who we are. He taught us that we are created in the image of God. He's like, you're the marred image of God. It's okay, but I'm the created image of God. I'm like you, and I'm going to be ultimate sacrifice. You can relate to this. I know you can't relate to a God in the sky. That's why I'm here right now. So practically, I can walk in your shoes, and practically, you can see me and know that I understand you, and you can hear from me, God, firsthand. You're hearing it, not just Moses on the mountain somewhere, but you're hearing from me. You're hearing from me. You're God, face to face. Man, he was so practical. He knew exactly what was needed. He knew exactly what we needed to do. He was so practical in his teaching that we could understand it. I mean, he's so practical that we could understand and comprehend everything he had to say. He created the universe, and he taught us these things. And, you know, I don't care. Isn't it so unpractical today? We hear teaching that, you know, that the universe started with nothing, collided with nothing in the air, and bang, we all became. And that makes no sense. I mean, that'd be like today if a woman came in here and, have you ever seen these programs on TV, on TLC, it's called the stories about women who were pregnant and didn't know they were pregnant? They went to the emergency room and they found out, you're 7 months pregnant. What? You know, I didn't know that. And they're like, how did this happen? I mean, it makes no sense at all. I'm like, I can tell you. Really, I can. You know, we know how it happened, okay? That's kind of the same thing. You know, how did this happen? How did we get here? Well, nothing happened. You know, and this happened. No, we know what happened. We believe in the Big Bang Theory, don't we? God spoke it and bang, there it was. All right. No, I believe in the Creator. So he made things so practical. Man can't comprehend this. And man's attempt to bring God is so unpractical. But God is so practical. He came and he lived and he walked here on earth that we could understand. He could relate to us and he could teach us things so practically. He teaches us practical things on marriage and kids and children and business and salvation and how to be happy, on restoration, on forgiveness. The Sermon on the Mount, he ended the sermon by saying, the man who's wise, I mean, he just preached the greatest sermon ever preached in the history of mankind that had ever been preached. The Sermon on the Mount is considered the best teaching ever given, period. Theologians, atheists, they all believe this man, this was the greatest teaching ever given. He just finished his teaching, and he teaches it by saying, hey, the man who's wise, he'll take this teaching and apply it to his life. He's like the man who builds his house on the sand. And if you ever know what sand, if you're around the ocean, when sand, how happens? The sand doesn't settle right. You build a house on the sand, your foundation is going to give away. House is going to be destroyed. He said, but the man who's wise, he builds it upon the rock. The foundation is solid. Boy, I can relate to that. I can understand it. That's better than me getting up saying, listen, if you don't do what I'm telling you, you're going to fall apart and your life's going to... No, Jesus said, listen, let me just tell you it's like this. Build your life on things without me, it's going to be sand the rest of your life. Everything you build is going to just float away. Everything you build is going to fall apart. But Jesus says this, you build it on the rock, the solid foundation of my church. It's going to be solid. It will last. It will endure. I can understand this. You can understand this. Man, what an awesome thing that our God cared about enough with us that he would teach us so practically things. And the last thing I want to talk to you about, he taught so graphically, taught so well. Man, he wasn't boring. Jesus wasn't boring. And I tell you that if you go to a church that's boring, don't blame God, okay? Don't blame Jesus, don't blame God. It's not God's fault if the church is boring. If church is boring, then blame the leadership, okay? If our church gets boring to you, blame me, okay? Because church shouldn't be boring. Because God never was boring. He was very graphic, very colorful. I mean, he painted pictures. I mean, a time before he could bring PowerPoint, man, he was a great storyteller. You mean a great storyteller and teaching the gospel? Yes, he was. It was as if he knew how the human mind works and comprehends things. Wait, he did. He was our creator. And he knew that if I get up and just read a bunch of things to do and don't, that we're going to... But he said, he would say this. He would say, hey, just do this one. Close your eyes a second. Just endure me a minute. Just close your eyes. I'm not going to bring out a water gun. Don't worry. Okay, just close your eyes. I want you to think of yourself in a forest right now, cutting down the biggest tree they have there. Cut down this big tree. Now I want you to just take a big fast chainsaw and you just go down and cut off every branch of this tree. Now all you got is one big long log there. Now I want you to take this log, and you have a crane, and now I want someone to jam this log right in your eye. And I want you to walk around with this log in your eye, and I want you to look for specks in everybody else's eye. Get the picture? This is what Jesus taught us. When he taught us these things, he taught us stories that we could understand. He would paint pictures. He said, hey, don't go around looking for the speck in your brother's eye. First, look at the plank. There's a big log is jammed in your eye. I mean, how graphic is that? How great. I can understand this. I can comprehend this. He was so graphic. He could paint pictures. And he taught us some things. He said, think of the sparrow. I mean, I know some of you may be bird lovers here, and I got some bad news for you. The sparrow is the most worthless bird there is, okay? You ever people study on sparrows? You study it out. You find out that they think the sparrows are the most worthless bird there is. They really don't contribute to much of anything, okay? But Jesus said this. He said, you know what? That even when a sparrow dies, my Father knows about it. And so when Jesus is trying to get the point to me, that I can say, you know what? I know when a sparrow dies. The other day I came out and there was a bird that had fallen off our house and it died right there. My first thought was, what did the twins do? But then I looked up and seen the nest and realized it just had fallen out of the nest. And I thought about that in my mind. I thought, you know what? God knows when this bird dies. How much more does he know about me and my life and the things I'm going through? How much more does he care about me and the problems I have? It changes the way. It changes the way I see the gospel because he was such a radical teacher. He was such a great teacher. He talked so practically. He saw so much graphic. He could paint pictures in our minds. It's as if he knew how we would remember things. He could tell stories. He used stories that even that would work today. Isn't it amazing? Now, yeah, some of the stories he told related to that time and culture. But if he was to tell the story today, let me just tell you, this is the kind of stories he told. You can say that there was someone going out today, and maybe one of you left today, and you were going down, and you were leaving, and you had to go somewhere out of town, and you're leaving, heading to the highway, and you first get on the Interstate 44, and you're heading up to Springfield, that you have a flat tire, and you get out to change a flat tire, and all of a sudden these thieves come up, man, and they knock you out, and steal your money, and your wallet, and your credit cards, and beat you up, and leave you there. You can't walk, and you're bleeding. And pretty soon, this big limousine comes by, and pulls over and looks at you, and it's the Archbishop of St. Louis, and he looks at him and says, oh, that guy needs some help, but I got to get to my meeting in St. Louis, so I got to get going. And maybe a pastor here in town drives by that pastors a church here on Rangeline in a metal building that has some light problems. And so maybe this guy's passing by, and he looks and sees you there. This pastor looks at you and says, that person really needs some help, but I got to go talk to some pastoral staff about how to be more compassionate. So I got to get to this meeting. So I got to get to this meeting and talk to you about being passionate, compassion. And pretty soon this other person who's been working two shifts just got off work. Single mom who's been working two shifts all night long because she's trying to feed her family. Husband's walked out on her. And she's crunched for time. Doesn't have a lot of money. She stops and sees him. Gets out and takes out her first aid kit she got in her purse because she's a good mom. Wipes them clean, bandages them up. Takes them down to the Holiday Inn. Checks them in. And says, let this guy sleep this thing off. Here's some easy medical attention. Here's my credit card. Let me know if I can do anything else. I want to pay for all this. Jesus said, now, can I relate to that? Who showed the most compassion? Duh. Who was the one who was in the right? He's teaching us these things. These things relate to us now. He was teaching us these things that we could understand. He was so graphic. One last story I'll tell you so you can understand this, and we're going to close. He told a story about the son and the father. There was a son, he says, who had a trust fund his whole life. So he took his Merrill Lynch trust fund, and this is before the last couple of years, so there was actually money in that trust fund. We took that trust fund from his dad. Or his dad, I'm ready to go party. Give me your money. I have a trust fund now. I want it now. He took it and he went to Vegas and he rented the biggest penthouse he could get there on the Vegas Strip. And he blew all his money on drugs, prostitutes, and gambling. And when he ran out of money and they kicked him out of the motel, that he went down the street and got a job in the very back cleaning out the dumpsters and washing the streets of some restaurant that had some grease pit. And he would eat scraps out of the trash can to feed himself. I finally come to realize, you know what, I can go back to my dad's house and he'll at least give me a job as a servant and I'll live better than this. And so he goes back, and before he can ever apologize to his dad, he gets there and his dad runs to him and loves on him. He says, come on, son, get back in the house. Let me show you what happened. I redecorated your room. And oh, in the car, in the garage, I got you a new car. And son, look in the closet. I got you some new clothes. And hey, we're catering in, and we're bringing the best restaurants coming to town tonight. And they're bringing this big luau, man. We're going to have this big party tonight because you're here. I can understand that story. It seems to me like, boy, that guy got a lot of grace. His father must have really loved him. That's what he was trying to show us. He was so graphic. Man, that son didn't even have a chance to apologize. Why is that? Because his father had been practicing his welcome home speech a lot longer than the son had been practicing his sorry speech. And as soon as he came home, that father opened up the doors and welcomed him home with all joy. I can understand that. And I can see how that relates to me. I can see how that relates to you. Listen, our God, Jesus, was a master teacher. He taught us in ways that we can understand. I tell you, the gospel is not a hard thing to understand. Some of you, maybe you're scared. I don't understand everything in there. I say, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can't miss it, man. You cannot miss it. It's very easy to understand. It's not as hard as you think it is. He taught in the ways that stories relate to my life and relate to your life. He paints pictures because he knew our minds, because he created us. And so he knew if I could paint a picture that I would remember it. He knew that when I saw that dead bird, that my mind would go back to how much Jesus thinks of me. He knew that if I saw a log, that I would realize, you know what, I make sure the log is not in my eye while I'm trying to look for specks in everybody else's eye. He knew these things. And he painted these pictures that were so beautiful. He knew that I could relate to a coin. He knew that I could relate to a pearl. He knew I could understand the vineyard and hard work. He knew I could understand these things and the stories, even though they were told 2,000 years ago, I can understand them so real in my life today. That's our teacher. No one's ever taught like him. No one will ever teach like him again. That's our God. That's our God. But he came with authority, with truth and grace. He came with practical knowledge. He came and painted graphic pictures that I could understand heaven. I could understand my relationship with God. Wow, that's how much he loves me. So today, as we develop this relationship with the Son, and it goes deeper, I can say, God, thank you today that you love me this much, that you took time to teach me on my level, that you took time to open up your life and share on my level. Wow, it changes my perspective of him. It changes my love for him because I see how much every thought that he put into the process of my relationship with him. It changes me. Let's bow our heads today as we close out. Today we're here. We never like to close out a service when all possible. And we don't give you a chance today. If you're here and you say, Pastor, you're talking about this relationship with Jesus. And today I need to come to a right relationship with him. I need to ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. I want to accept him as Lord of my life. And today I'm ready to do that. I want to make sure heaven's my home, and I want to start a relationship with him. You've been hearing people talk about him. Maybe you've been here a long time. It's okay. Maybe you've been coming a long time, kind of checking this thing out, seeing about, hearing about the Holy Spirit, hearing about Jesus. And today you're realizing, you know what? I'm ready to take the next step. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I will not embarrass you in any way. But if you're here today, you say, I'm ready to make that decision. Can you just raise your hand where you're at where I can see it? Say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else today, you want to join this person? Thank you. Anybody else today, you want to join these two people today and say, I'm ready? Thank you. To accept Jesus Christ? Thank you. Anybody else today, you say, I want to join these people? I'm ready to accept Jesus today. I'm ready to make that decision. We had a few people who raised their hands today, and so we're really excited about you raising your hands. As a congregation, we're going to say this prayer together. And those of you who raised your hands, I want you really to pray this prayer from your heart. Let's repeat after me, please. Let's say it together. Dear Jesus, I ask you to forgive me my sins and to be Lord of my life. I give you everything I am, all of my sin, all of my doubt, all of my fears, all of my dreams. I give everything to you today. I confess you as Lord of my life. I will live for you. I believe you are the Son of God. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed that prayer, we say, welcome to the family of God. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap. Yeah. say before you leave, make sure you go to the back. We got a special packet there for you. He's got a Bible and some other things we want to give you, what to do next. This is just the beginning. When you raise your hand to accept Jesus, it's not the end, but it's just the beginning of a new journey, a new relationship, and you got to get plugged in with people. Small groups are a great way to do that. Get plugged into small groups of people, and things are happening. Wednesday nights, we have women's and men's ministries going on. Things happen. Get plugged into those groups. Allow people to love you and just to support you and teach you more about the gospel, what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, I'm going to invite you to stand up where you're at. I'm going to say a closing prayer for you. With everybody looking this way and standing up today, how many today say, Pastor, man, I'm just so blown away by how much God loves me. The son of relationship. Yeah, are you blown away? I'm just so blown away. I tell you, as I study this, it's a very practical teaching, I know. It says we all knew Jesus is a great teacher, but as we look at it, we realize how much he loved us, that he would come and teach us this way. And today, I just pray that we don't neglect the teachings that he gave us. We don't neglect Jesus, the teacher. That's a part of having a solid relationship with him, is knowing who he is, understanding who he is. I'm going to pray for you today. Father, I pray for every person here. God, as we are developing a stronger relationship with the Holy Spirit and now developing a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son, we're realizing the many sides of the Godhead. We're realizing the many roles they had in our life and have in our life. And God, as we look at today at Jesus the teacher, the great teacher, we thank you, God, that you loved us enough not to bring a bunch of rules we could not understand or relate to or even follow. But God, you brought grace and truth and authority and practical knowledge and told us stories that we could comprehend and understand in our human minds. That we can look at the gospel and we can read the gospel and we can understand it, and it can bring power to change us. It can bring power to redeem us. It brings power to change who I am. It changes my relationship with you. It changes everything about me. And today, Father, I thank you that, God, your word is alive in our hearts, and we are renewing with passion our relationship with the Holy Spirit and now the relationship with the Son. As we know that you are a carpenter who can relate to my every problem, we know you're the great shepherd who's leading me and calling me out. And today I know you have taught me in such a practical and authoritative way that, God, my life will never be the same. And, Father, we pray and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. God bless you today. Make sure you get plugged into a group. Grab one of those brochures off the table. There's some on the foyer as well. Find a life group to get plugged into. We'll see you Wednesday night for those of you who don't. God bless you.